Here's a longtime NFLer, three-time Super Bowl champ. He's an NFL analyst with Nesson down in Boston and the Athletic Boston. Did you send him a Slack message? Or
I did not.
Okay, here's Matt Chatham. What's up, Matt?
What's up, guys? How we doing?
Good, doing well. We got Jonas in here from the Athletic as well, and he's been pumping the tires of this Slack company, this messaging company. I've never heard of it before, but are you on it because you work for the Athletic or what?
I know nothing of it. You're bombarding me here. I have no clue.
That's Slack, awesome. What is Slack? I love it. See, Jonas, why are you, like, no one is on this stupid app. You're the only guy that's promoting it.
How do people communicate with you, Matt? They
what
just send
Slack?
You emails?
I'm just tech dumb here. What is it?
It's like an instant messaging app, basically, that apparently everyone at the Athletic, except for you, uses.
Yeah. Apparently, I'm a little slow.
That's fine.
That may be all it is.
No, I'm with you, dude. I'd never heard of it either. Jonas looks at me like I'm a caveman because I haven't heard it or used it, but it's neither
here nor
there.
You still have a Hotmail account, so.
I do. I support Hotmail. I love Hotmail. We were talking about that Derrick Henry run last night. Well, he had multiple big runs, but the stiff arm and just how vicious that is, man. It's savage. Have you ever been on the wrong side of a stiff arm?
I don't think I've ever been stiff arm real dramatically. I have been got the crackback block. I think that's sort of your embarrassing thing as a linebacker. You know, you get hit from the outside by even a smaller guy, a receiver you never see coming, or flying down the field on a punt. I had one in the AFC Championship game, first time we played the Steelers, I can't think of his name right now, but big fullback for the Steelers at the time. He peeled back and hit me in the side of the ear, and I never saw him. And I just remember, you know, this is pre-CTE, or at least knowing what it was that was going on, but I just remember sort of wandering back to our sideline and watching as they kept playing it over and over and over again on the big screen as the place went nuts. So, yeah, I mean, I certainly had my embarrassing ones, but stiff arms, not so much.
Yeah. Well, I guess if you're playing a game, man, at some point you're getting hit, regardless of what position you play. What did you make of the reaction to the Jaguars? It seemed like everyone was watching them last night, just suggesting they quit, and they've quit all the season. Do you buy into that narrative?
It felt that way. I mean, the thing I always hate about stuff like that is you have really varied locker rooms. I mean, you've got guys, you can get 2, 3, 4, even 5 guys or whatever it is that just give poor effort in a situation like that. And even on bad teams, and when I was in New York, I was on bad teams, you still may have, 40-plus guys who are taking it professionally as they would week in, week out. But the thing that sucks is few people let up, especially in a big spot, especially in a big night like that. And, it agitates because it paints you all the same way. It paints the logo that way, paints the market that way, paints the head coach that way. And that part sucks because you can definitely find them on film. And when you're on a bad team, people will start giving people side eye once you get back into those team meeting rooms and you start reviewing film and you see guys that don't go to the ground, you know, sort of try to arm tackle and stand and push and not just completely sell out. You're really expected to in the NFL to play the same way. And you know that there's going to be that tiny percentage of guys that don't, that kind of pack it in and take it too much like a job than we like to, but it certainly does happen.
With longtime NFLer and now NFL analyst Matt Chatham, in terms of coaching changes, and we're going to see it this weekend with the Packers, first time in over 12 years, Mike McCarthy will not be on the sideline. And they've got Atlanta in town, who's equally as disappointing. Atlanta had pretty decent expectations, and they're 4-8. The Packers are 4-7-1. But McCarthy's out. You got a new coach. The season's over. What kind of reaction are you expecting to see out of the Packers?
You know, that's a million-dollar question because this always goes – this is kind of a cop-out answer, but it goes one of two ways. I mean, especially for someone, think if you're someone who wagers on games and, you know, kind of pay attention to the league that way, it's really one of those situations where sometimes, you know, like the Greg Williams thing, all of a sudden a team that's been looking terribly, a little tweak here or there, and all of a sudden people rally around someone and all the problems seemingly go away. Or the other thing happens, and they look at the guy in-house and say, hey, Joe Philbin, we know you're not going to be here, you know, 2 months from now or whatever it is, and they're not particularly energized about what's going on, and they actually play worse than what was happening before. So you kind of need to know the personalities in the room and how they'll respond, and quite frankly, what the real problem was, if it was actually the head coach or if there's more systemic kind of things going on with a particular team. So, you know, you hope they respond better because there is some talent in the room, but it's a flawed roster too, and that often happens where, you know, sometimes you're missing a few pieces, you're also not performing well, and sometimes after many years in the same organization, maybe some guys, the message just isn't getting through. So you understand the change. But on the flip side of that, Danny Quinn, I mean, he was my old coach. I love him to death, and I think he's an excellent coach. And that's another one where it's sort of a head scratch. I certainly hope he's not on hot seat or anything like that. That it's just a down year, but there was a lot of expectations there too as well.
Well, that mentality you just spoke of has just never crept up in New England, and you know this. You won three Super Bowls. You played there for a long time. They have the ability, the opportunity this weekend to go down to Miami, win the game, and then they win the division, the AFC East, for the 10th straight year, 10 years in a row. Yeah. And I kind of look at this in multiple ways. I mean, everyone pumps the tires of New England, myself included. You can't fight it. I mean, they are just an exceptionally run organization. They're a dynasty, and they deserve all the accolades they receive. But there's also a part of me that says, with this stat, yeah, it speaks to New England, but also speaks to the ineptitude of the rest of the division. Like, Miami, Buffalo, and New York, for the most part, have been brutal for a decade. And this is another example of it. The Packers are going to... It's not like anyone's fighting for it. Even if New England loses this weekend, Miami's not going to run the table and beat them. It's not going to happen.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think this is obviously a hot topic in New England. It's something that generally comes up, and I'm not obviously not accusing you of doing it, but I'm just saying it's usually brought up in the social media world, and then you literally introduce this topic, and then there's like a thread of 1,000 responses because people, and again, it's certainly not something I've researched. It's more just reading theirs and taking them at face value, but the Patriots have obviously dominated the division, but they've been better against the other divisions than the other top people as well, and then their record against, I guess, the rest of the NFL is better than what you would expect it to be. And then, oddly enough, if you remove the division winners in each of the divisions throughout the league, and then just look at the remaining records of all the other non-winners over the course of that same time, the AFC East division teams actually have closer to the higher overall winning percentage, which didn't make sense to me until I saw it, but it's something at least people in the market are very salty about, that it somehow, you know, denigrates the accomplishment that they've just been bad. One thing I will tell you, you know, playing both with the Jets and with New England, there has not been a consistent winner of any kind in the division, obviously, but from having to play those games and, you know, yes, continuing to compile wins, there is a sense of, okay, we're better than these guys, but they're tough tests, and that's not something that will probably, you know, kind of not sound sincere because you're always winning. But the defenses in those crews, especially Buffalo, sometimes Miami, not always Miami, typically the Jets, especially back to the more recent stuff with Sheldon Richardson and Wilkerson and then Williams on the inside and the linebacker crews they've had and the defensive, all that kind of stuff. So you get good teams, but there haven't really been any good offenses over the last decade, and I think that sometimes colors how good they are. At the end of the day, none of those teams are winning the division. That's true. But, you know, it's not as if you don't get tested week in, week out. You see some of the better defensive lines. That's often the case with Brady, which is such a big deal when they go outside the division, especially crossing conferences, and you say, okay, got to get Tom Brady off the spot, got to get this great pass rush, got to get to him. And he's often seen some of the best rushes he'll see either in Buffalo in a typical year, Miami or the Jets. So they get tested, but they don't get beat, if that makes any sense.
For sure. Great stuff, Matt, as always, man. Enjoy the rest of the weekend. We'll do it again down the road. Thank you.
All right, guys. Take care.
There's Matt Chatham, Nesson NFL analyst with The Athletic down in Boston. Never heard of Slack before.